Hi, welcome to this segment on how to report the financial results under the financial management part 1 series. So the days, there were days when the focus of financial reporting was only factual disclosure of financial transactions summarized in one with complete clarity or over. These days, the CFOs have to additionally analyze the result, interpret them, and with their expertise, discuss opportunity available and how to exploit them. Also list down threats faced by the business entity and how they can be overcome. In this segment, the objectives of this segment would be how to ensure there is clarity in financial reporting, what is an income statement, its contents, structures, and drawbacks, what are the income statement principle, balance sheet, what are the content, structure and drawbacks of various structures of the balance sheet, what are the statutory requirements for balance sheet, cash and fund flow statement, three sources of cash flows, auditor's report, management discussion and analysis. So this entire gamut covers what we call as financial reporting. So knowing how to work with numbers in a company's financial statement is essential skill which is required mandatory for financial managers, analysts and investors. Obviously, there has to be meaningful interpretation of the financial statement and analysis of the balance sheet, that income statement and cash flow statements, to really understand the financial position of the business entity. In the previous segment, we have discussed how there could be a difference between a cash flow and an income statement, income and expenditure statement, which may give a wrong impression about the status of the business. Therefore, to understand the financial position of the business entity as a whole, it's important that we understand the reporting requirement, how it is structured, it full, so that we can make correct analysis out of it. So obviously, before we start on financial reporting, let us see what it covers. So it covers balance sheet, it covers income statement, it covers fund flow statement and audit report. What is an income statement? So the income statement along with balance sheet does not provide full financial data. Very surprising, but that's true. You need to superimpose the cash flow statement or the fund flow statement, you could interchangeably use the term, and that gives you a critically important analytical data to have the complete picture of the organization. The firm's business structure, the products and services offered in the markets, configuration of the stockholders' needs, etc., are to be required, considered with required diligence in collecting, collating and presenting financial reports. Universally generally accepted accounting principles, also known as GAAP, is a standard which is used to prepare financial statement. For financial analysts, investors, a basic understanding of at least two of these conventions like historical cost and accrual accounting are very important. According to GAAP, assets must be valued at their purchase price, which is the historical cost, which may be significantly different than their current market value. Revenues are to be recorded when goods and services are delivered, and expenses are to be recorded when they are incurred. Whether corresponding cash is received or paid is not considered while recording transactions. The reporting responsibility also includes that all adequate accounting records must be maintained in safe custody. So you have to safeguard the assets of the company. You have to prevent and detect frauds and other irregularities, if any. Selection and application of appropriate accounting policies. Make judgments and estimates that are reasonable and prudent. And design, implement and maintain adequate internal financial controls. We'll again come back to the definition of income statement. Income statement is a financial statement that measures a company's financial performance over a period of specific accounting period. In India, it's usually 1st April to 31st March. Financial performance is assessed by providing a summary of how the business earns its revenue and it incurs expenses through both operating and non-operating activities. It also shows the net profit or loss incurred over the accounting period. This statement is also known as profit and loss statement or statement of revenue and expense, but very popularly known as income statement. This is an example of an income statement. It's called a multi-step income statement. So it starts with what is your sales revenue and what is the cost it incurred to make the goods that you were selling. From this, we come to something known as gross margin. So gross margin tells us if the product is being sold more, if the price of the product is more than the cost. So if it's positive, obviously it is more. Then comes other operating expenses to ensure that this product reaches to the customer. So to make the product, you'll have some wages, some rent, some utility expenses like telephone and all, and some advertising expense, in which you will come to something known as operating income after deducting from gross margin these expenses. So gross margin ensures that all your operating expenses are covered. Then you could have other revenues and expenses. So in this particular example, you have a revenue. That means you must have rented your premise for something. So you have a rent revenue of let's say $2. Therefore, income before tax is gross operating income plus other income, so $43. That means the management has generated profit. Your income tax expense is let's say $10, and therefore your net income is $33. So if you had issued 1,000 average shares which were outstanding, so 33 divided by 1,000 would give you $0.033 as EPS or earning per share. This concept of how income statement is presented is very important to be understood. So the portion of income statement that deals with operating items is obviously interesting to investors and analysts, because this section discloses information about revenues and expenses that are direct result of a regular business operations. So an example is given that if a business makes sports equipment, then operating items would talk about revenue and expenses involved in production of sports equipment. So it discloses margin earned on the sale of the equipment. The balance portion of the income statement discloses income and expenses not related to main business operations. On non-operating expense side of income statement, you may see a loss on sale of an outdated asset or an interest paid on overdraft of the firm's bank. On income side, you may notice interest earned, dividend income or net gain on sale of assets, etc. So income statement is a major mechanism for measuring the profitability of a business entity. It is presented in a step-by-step or progressive manner. Hence, it shows gross profit, operating profit before interest, after interest, profit before tax, and net profit after tax or profit after tax at different stages of the income statement. Now, income statement can be structured in two formats. So either in an account form or in a report form. In an account form, all expenses, or a T form it is known as, all expenses on the left side are debit side of the account and the revenues are on the right side or the credit side of the account. In the report format, the net income is reported by step by step method. The income statement, as it suggests, has to have all types of revenue earned by the business entity. So this includes net sales, that is after discounts and sales return if any, interest earned, proceeds from sale of used assets or any other non-operating income. On the expense side, You have to show your purchase expense, wages and salary, other expenses like depreciation, manufacturing, selling and distribution expenses, as well as any loss of assets, a net of depreciation which is disposed of during the period of time. So as an example, in an account or a T format, Maruti Udyog income statement for year ended March 15 looks something like this. On the left hand side, you will see all the debits, which is cost. So manufacturing expenses close to 35,000 crores. Materials which they have consumed is 700 crores. Personal expenses, salary expenses are 1700 crores, close to it, 1600 crores actually. Administrative expenses, 5600 crores. Financial expenses, 200 crores. Depreciation, 2500 crores, resulting into net profit. Now we'll pause for a moment at net profit, because to arrive at net profit we need to look at the income side. So their operating income is close to 50,000 crores, and they have also earned some other income of 830 odd crores. So the balancing figure of 50,802 crores minus all these expense is the net profit, which is 4,868.20 crores. So that's how it needs to be looked at. So in this format, what happens is you will see that you have listed in the debit column to show individual expenses, which amounts to close to 46,000 crores, and on the credit side the income is close to 50,800 crores, and therefore the balancing figure of profit as we discussed is 4,900 crores. From this, you do not have clear number for operating profit, profit after depreciation, or effect of other income on net profit. So this numbers are clearly shown in an income statement in report format normally published by the companies. So this is a report format, the same Maruti Udyog income statement. Now we will see how it can be presented in a report format. So your operating income is 49,970 crores. These are your expenses, which are as what we have seen, resulting into an operative profit of 6,700 odd crores. From 6,700 odd crores, there is some additional non-operating income. So therefore the adjusted PBDIT, which is profit before depreciation, interest and tax, is 7,500 odd crores. Then you have some financial expenses, you have depreciation. Therefore the profit adjusted before tax is 4,868,000 crores, 4,800 crores, sorry. And your tax charges, assuming it's right, is 1,100 odd crores, and therefore adjusted PAT is 3,700 crores, and there's no adjustment entry, so it is 3,711.20 crores. So as we can see, T format did not have separate numbers for operating profit, profit before depreciation, interest and tax, and things like that. Therefore in the report format, this is highly highlighted, it's easy. PAT is also known as bottom line of business entity. PAT stands for profit after tax. The principles of income statement is that it has to be prepared on the principles of accrual. Therefore the purchases are to be recorded based on the receipt of accepted materials and supplies during the accounting period, irrespective when you paid the vendors for the supplies. Similarly, sales have to be recorded when they are sold and not when the payment has been received. Again, expenses for the accounting period are accrued and therefore included in income statement. The drawback of such principles is that the income or rise in owner's wealth is expressed in income statement is the accounting income and not economic income. So that economist defines income as change in real worth that occurs between the beginning and the end of the accounting year. So income statement do not show it. Appreciation in value of land held by long for business entity increases its real worth, but it is not reflected in income statement, nor it is expected to do so. Accounting values are normally determined by transactions that occur during the accounting period. The finance manager uses the accrual and not the cash principle in preparing the income statement. In reality, it is the cash flow that determines the unit's net worth, and therefore you need to have cash to grow or to declare dividends for stock owners. Similarly, over a period of time, assets lose their economic value, which is difficult to quantify for a particular accounting year. The finance manager uses the principle of dividing the asset acquisition value over the useful life to arrive at depreciation for accounting year. Actual loss in the value of the asset may not follow this logic. So normally what happens is the loss in the asset value is smaller initially and very significant when it is close to end of life of the asset. So if you are using straight line method or diminishing value method to calculate depreciation, the asset value loss remains constant or goes on decreasing in income statement, which is not really the economic way of looking at it. Expenses on research, development, advertising and publicity are expected to provide return to the business over number of years in future. But for the income statement, the full expense is written off as it is incurred every year. The last but not the least, economic inflation increases the market value of the firm's most assets. This increase in value is never reflected in income statement, and to that extent it fails to exhibit increase in net worth of the business entity. So from income statement that we have seen the principles behind it, the objective, the methodology and some drawbacks of income statement, let's now move to balance sheet. So what is a balance sheet? So balance sheet is prepared by the finance manager to display the nature and value of assets owned by the firm and how much of these assets are financed by the owner's fund or by borrowing, which appears as liability. Income statement and balance sheet then together provide answers to owners and financiers to query, which is how much did the firm make or lose in the given accounting period and what is the measure of the firm's worth on a given day. Income statement provides results of the accounting period. The balance sheet provides net worth since inception. For financial analyst and investor, the balance sheet is an important instrument to gauge the firm's financial strength because it reflects what the company owns and owes. The strength of the company's balance sheet therefore can be evaluated by three broad categories of investment quality measures. One, does it have enough working capital adequacy? That means, does it have assets which are more than its liabilities to meet the working capital requirement? What is the asset performance and what is the capitalization structure? So, as explained, so asset performance includes fixed asset turnover ratio. So, how are you using your property, plant and equipment or fixed assets to ensure more business for the organization is looked at the asset performance. And fixed asset turnover, which is one of the asset turnover ratio used, shows about net sales divided by average fixed assets. And this is how it shows. If you have a higher asset turnover ratio, that means you're performing better. Structure, the balance sheet, excuse me, that shows the financial condition of business unit at any given point of time. Could be in T form or account form or in report form. However, Companies Act 2013 prescribes only the report form for preparing balance sheet for joint stock companies. That means the option of account form is available to sole proprietorship, partnership or limited liability partnership companies. If balance sheet could be in an account T form, then this is how it will look. On the liability side, you will have share capital, your reserve and surplus, long-term borrowing, short-term borrowing, creditors and any provisions. On the asset side, you will have building, plants, your assets, long-term loans, inventories, sundry debtors, bank and cash balance and the total. The structure of the report format under Companies Act 2013 Under Schedule 3, it will appear like this. It will start with equity and liabilities, which is share capital, reserve, secured loan, and you will notice that it has a note number. That means any annexure can be attached here. What was the figures as the end of the current reporting period and at the end of the previous reporting period or the start of the reporting period? You have assets less liabilities total. As an example, let's look at balance sheet of ITC for the year ended 2015. The previous years are not shown. So sources of funds are this, and how the funds were used is explained like this. Total liabilities, also termed as sources of funds by most companies. It contains under liabilities, the first item as total share capital, because that has to be returned back to the shareholders in case of winding up. While the amount is shown against share capital is paid up capital, it is common to indicate additionally authorized capital, issued capital, subscribed capital or paid up capital. Share application money, it is the amount received by the company for applicants who wish to purchase a share. Reserves and surpluses, there are two kinds of reserve. One is a capital reserve and revenue reserve. The capital reserve includes share premium, revaluation reserve and capital redemption reserve, while revenue reserve is generated through accumulation of retained earnings. Secured loans. So, secured loans are loans which are covered by charge on the assets of the borrowing firm by the way of pledge or hypothecation, like immovable assets like buildings, plants and machinery are pledged, and movable assets like materials and sundry debtors are hypothecated. Unsecured loan, where there is no charge, the bank is providing basis your credit worthiness. Thus, you will note that paid up equity capital, reserves and loans together constitute total liabilities of business entity and is reported as the first part of the report form of the balance sheet. The second part of the balance sheet in the report format covers fixed assets. Then it has gross assets, gross block, which are assets which provide business entity on a long term basis and anyway more than 1 year. So gross assets include both tangible and intangible assets. Tangible assets are something which you can touch and feel. Their value is shown in the balance sheet at their net value and not at the value at which they were acquired. The second part of the report form of balance sheet shows intangible assets, which covers something like goodwill, brands, trademarks, software, copyrights and other things. The fixed assets are shown in the balance sheet at their net value and not at the value at which they were acquired. This is the important point to be kept in mind. Investments are classified into long-term and short-term investments. Inventories are valued at cost or net realizable value, whichever is lower. Inventories are further sub-classified as raw materials, work in progress or finished goods stored in factory warehouse or other location until sold. The second part also under total assets is stock in trade in respect of goods acquired for trading, stores and spares, loose tools and others. Goods in transit have to be disclosed separately. Sundry debtors, also termed as accounts receivable, the amount shown under this as a balance sheet represents the value of sales that have done and the money to be received. Current liability or sundry creditors and provisions, which were earlier shown as source of funds, now it is a practice to show them as reduction in the application of funds or the asset side of the balance sheet. Accounting standards prescribed under Companies Act 2013, additional disclosures are required as part of notes to the account or by way of additional statement unless they are required to be disclosed on the face of financial statement. All other disclosures as required by Companies Act shall be made to the notes to the account. Most of the values stated in balance sheet are stated on historical or original cost basis. These values have actually no relation to their market value. The balance sheet is data is based on accrual principle and not on cash basis. The drawbacks of such kind of report or balance sheet is the shareholders' equity is only the book value of the company. The reported amount of stockholders' equity will therefore be different from current or market value of the company. We look at now the third statement, which completes the reporting and forms a very important part, but most often overlooked by a lot of investors, especially new investors, is that of fund flows or cash flow statement. There is a general belief, the definition of fund flow is that financial data is fully reported in income statement and balance sheet, but we know we require a statement of fund flows. So it is a statement prepared to analyze the reasons for change in financial position of the company between two income statements and balance sheet. So it primarily reflects source of revenue and application of funds and from three major areas: normal business operations, regular investing activities, and normal financing activities. If we have to determine the cash flows from operating activities, we have to translate the income statement from an accrual to cash basis. And to do that, we have to pick each item from income statement and turn it from accrual to cash by transferring all sales to, let's say, a cash sales and all purchase to cash purchase. Thus, it is a very tedious exercise. The other way is you start with net income and start adjustment step by step to convert it into cash from operations. Both methods, however, will provide you with the same end. There is also an indirect method to determine cash flow from operation activities. So a six-step approach is required. So first is record your net income from the income statement. Second, add depreciation back to net income because it's a non-cash expense. Deduct any increase in current assets. Add any decrease in current assets if there is a decrease. If there is an increase in current liabilities, add the amount. If there is a decrease in current liabilities, subtract it. And then you have to determine the effect of investment activities and cash flow. One needs to reconsider long-term investment in acquiring and disposing of fixed assets and collection of loans. The amount that we collect from sale of assets, recovery of loan, receipts of dividend or institute, they all constitute cash inflows, while purchase of assets, disbursement of loan results in cash outflows. So what does financial activities apply to? Sale of or retirement of bonds, preferred stock, etc. The payment of dividend is also considered a financing activity. The sale of firm security causes increase in cash flow, and the retirement or repurchase of this instrument obviously causes fall in cash balance, so does the payments of dividend. And when you add the net cash flows from all the three activities, you arrive at either a net increase or decrease in cash flow for the period under review. Structure, sources. So you have net profit, you add depreciation, so you get funds from business operations. Then if you have a positive sale of assets, if you have issued any shares or debentures or taken long-term borrowings, you put that under source. If you had a loss, then you show it as fund outflow. If you have paid any dividend, then put it up here. Any income tax, if you have purchased any assets or you have returned back long-term loans or you have redemption of shares or debentures, that's a fund outflow. This is a T format. Now we can also put it in the reporting format. This is principal. So the sources of cash includes increase in liabilities and owner's equity, decrease in assets. These are the area. The most important thing is the third, increase and decrease of owner's equity and long-term liability results in cash flow caused by the firm's financing activities. Cash flow, just like income statement and balance sheet, also have some drawback. They are prepared using past information. They therefore do not provide complete information to assess the future cash flows of an entity. It's like driving, looking at the rearview mirror. Therefore, one has to be careful. by itself, cash flow statement would mean nothing. It needs to be looked with income statement, balance sheet, and then cash flow has to be done that. The difference is income statement is based on accrual method of accounting, while cash flow statement is based on cash basis of accounting, and it ignores the basic accounting concept of accruals. Other financial reports that needs to be part of the reporting structure is the auditor's report. The auditors are required, are responsible to form an opinion on a standalone financial statement like the balance sheet, P&L account, cash flow statement for the year ended, and any other significant accounting policies and other information based on their audit. They have to take into account the provision of Companies Act, rules made thereunder, matters that are required to be included in audited report, and the accounting and audit standards as prescribed from time to time. So an audit involves performing procedures to obtain audit evidence about the amounts which are disclosed in the financial statement. The procedures selected depend on auditor's judgment, risk of material that they have, what is it, and after the risk assessment, the auditor considers internal financial controls relevant to company's preparedness of the financial statements that give a true and fair view. In a nutshell, what auditors are trying to find out, if the income statement, the balance sheet and the fund flow statement are giving a true and fair view of the business entity. For that, they look at their own audit evidence. They depend upon the internal financial control unit's observations and validation of their own audit to come to that figure. In case they feel that it does not give a true and fair view, they may do additional sampling, additional checking, but they have to declare whether it is true or fair or not. He has to form an opinion. And an example of this is given here. In our opinion, and to the best of information and according to the explanations given to us, the aforesaid standalone financial statements give the information required by the Act in a manner so required to give a true and fair view of the accounting principles. Notes to account. So the first note starts with a brief history of the company, how it is incorporated, it is engaged in which type of business in India or abroad, and they confirm the financial statements of the company are prepared under the Indian GAAP, and they comply with all material respect with the accounting standards notified under the company's rules and relevant provision of the Companies Act. In addition, you have a director's report. The director's report provides additional information not included in the earlier financial statement, like a summary of financial performance of the company for a period under review, recommendation about dividend to be distributed from the net earnings, appointment of directors, auditors, cost auditor if applicable, director's responsibility statement, company's credit rating, status of fixed deposit, employee stock option scheme, etc. It also includes any strategic acquisitions if they have taken, how do they plan to do human resource development, and steps that have been taken for CSR, corporate social responsibility. In the new Companies Act, you also have management discussion and analysis. The MDA, it is called. MDA aims to familiarize shareholders with the latest trend in the industry, what is the business strategy of the firm, and thrust areas coming out of it. The MDA discusses threats and opportunities for the firm. It also provides highlights on financial performance during the year. It spells out internal control system in place of the firm, and items covered by L&T in their MDA report for 2014 are listed next as an explanation. So this is L&T MDA, management discussion and analysis. It starts with overview of the Indian economy, what is the business scenario which L&T finds itself in, growth strategy and thrust areas, focus on quality of new orders, profitability and efficient execution, what is the working capital, requirement. Then there is also report on corporate governance. Many companies are adding this report in their annual accounts. Corporate governance is a system of rules and practices which the company is directed and control. So it involves balancing the interest of many stakeholders in the company, like shareholders, management, customers, suppliers, financiers, government, and it encompasses every sphere of management. It is based on principles such as conducting business with integrity and fairness and being transparent. Another point which is highlighted in SEBI report for corporate governance is the need for those in control to be able to distinguish between what are personal and corporate funds while managing a company. So to summarize, the meaningful interpretation and analysis of balance sheet, income statement and cash flow helps the reader to understand financial position of the business entity. The diversity of financial reporting requires that we should first become familiar with all general financial statement characteristics and understand that what the statement is wanting to offer to management, analysts and investors. Income statement measures company's financial performance over a period of financial year. It is assessed through summary of how the business earns its revenue and what kind of expenses it incurs, both in operating and non-operating activities. Income statement uses the accrual base and not the cash principle. The balance sheet is prepared to display nature and value of assets owned by the firm and how are these assets financed by the funds, whether it is owner's funds or borrowings, funds borrowing, which appear as the liability. It tells us how much did the firm make or lose in the accounting period, what is the measure of firm's worth on a given day. The balance sheet is made on accrual basis and therefore does not reflect fully the physical movement of cash that takes place in the reporting period. For this reason, fund flow statement is prepared. The auditor has its own responsibility as per the Companies Act, and using their own judgment, data collection, analysis and the entire auditing of the processes and the reports and internal financial control department's feedback, they come to a conclusion whether what they have audited, presented to them by the management is in their view fair and complete disclosure, and that is what they have to publish in the reporting format. Notes to accounts are prepared as per given rules. There's a director report which reflects the financial performance, the company's credit rating, status of fixed deposit, etc. And there is a management discussion and analysis which helps the shareholders to understand the general environment in which the business is operating. What are the opportunity landscape that is available to the company and which are the thrust areas? What kind of threats the management visualizes going forward and how would they take care of it? It also covers any CSR which they have done over a period of the financial year. With that, we come to end of this segment. Thank you.